This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. For the first time, the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland is hosting its biennial policy summit in downtown Cincinnati. The event happens this week and will cover a wide array of topics related to urban growth, income inequality, segregation in housing and education, overall public sentiment about the economy, and it will also feature a town hall. But what exactly does the Federal Reserve do? Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss is Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland Vice President and Community Affairs Officer Emily Garr-Pichetti. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with some basics about the Federal Reserve. You know, a lot of us know that the national organization was established, you know, more than a century ago. It serves as the central bank and all that. But you're with the Federal Reserve of Cleveland. So explain to us how the Federal Reserve is divided up regionally.
Sure. So the Cleveland Fed is one of 12 banks across the country. We have, you know, weird geographic divisions and lines based on, you know, the early 1900s law. But the Cleveland Fed is all of Ohio, eastern Kentucky, western Pennsylvania, and then a little part of West Virginia. So that's our territory. And we here in community development specifically focus on the needs of low-income people in that region.
So then what exactly does the regional sectors do? What's going on at your office in Cleveland, basically?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The Fed, so each of the 12 feds has a community development department in response to redlining that happened and the Community Reinvestment Act of 1977. So we each have an office. They're all structured a little differently. But we all do research and outreach on issues that matter to low-income people. So here in our office, we focus a lot on economic and workforce development, small business, and affordable housing. Those are our three areas, but we pay a lot of attention to issues that come up. Opioids is a big one for us, and trying to understand the connection between opioid use and labor force participation. So that's an example of one area where we kind of, we don't just kind of do the research, but we also want to listen to folks and try and understand how we can be helpful in terms of research and outreach.
And that's what I find interesting, because when you hear Federal Reserve, you think monetary policy, money, something like that. But you have different types of professionals working in there that are skilled in gathering and then analyzing this type of socioeconomic data.
That's right. We have researchers that are devoted to these different policy areas, and then we also have our outreach team. And we have three outreach staff, one each based in our two branches, so one in Pittsburgh, and there is one in Cincinnati, and then another for Northern Ohio that's based in Cleveland.
So for the first time, the Cleveland Fed is hosting its biennial summit in Cincinnati, and the policy summit will look at challenges that low and moderate income communities face. So how does the summit go about doing that?
So our goal with the policy summit has always been to make sure that these kind of academic conversations and research conversations that tend to happen, you know, in ivory towers or isolated from the public are brought to the ground and applied to the extent they can be. So we want to engage practitioners and policymakers alongside the academics, and that's really the purpose. We have hosted the policy summit for now, I think this is our 14th year, with the intent of it being outside the DC area. And bring it to the Midwest and really ground it to the issues that matter to the people in our district.
So the community development component of the Federal Reserve may be something that people are generally less familiar with, but you've got quite a program built around that. And this is open to the public, I understand. So what do you think the public will gain from this if they were to attend some of these sessions?
I really think that the engagement with practitioners and policymakers is important, and I think to bring it down a level, I do think that people will just have generative conversations about what their experiences are, what they've seen, what matters to them, right? So I think we have just this incredible mix of geographic and political perspectives, academic perspectives on what's happening right now in the economy and how it's affecting poorer communities. And I think it's important that people engage in those discussions and debate. And I think that's what we're trying to do here with the lineup. And I will say, I agree with you. I think we have an incredible lineup of speakers, and I'm thrilled that we're having so many experts, both at the national and the local level, that are able to share their experiences.
And we're going to talk about a couple of them in just a moment. I'm curious, though, because I read that one of the Federal Reserve's missions is to promote economic resilience and mobility of low and moderate income people and underserved individuals and communities. But I'm wondering what type of challenges the Fed may face in fulfilling that mission, depending on, say, the political situation in the nation or tax policy that may be adopted by Congress. Does that pose challenges to you from time to time?
So we don't take stances on policies, but we do the research that can inform better policy, right? So I think we're seeing, we always see kind of ebbs and flows of the appetite for that at different levels. And depending on the issue you're talking about, we could be engaging with local stakeholders at the city level or the neighborhood level at a CDC, as well as state level governments, county, metro governance associations, the federal level. So all kinds. So that doesn't change, right? We are always engaging with a variety of different constituents, and we try to make our research as responsive and impactful as possible for those areas that we are in.
So you collect all this data and this research, and you supply it to various organizations or people. How is that then implemented into policy? I understand that you're not swooping into communities and creating laws there, but how do you funnel that into policy?
Yeah, so we have a great example coming out of our work in the space of financial technology. So more and more lending is happening online, and we have an expert, Anne-Marie Wersch, who's been working with her colleagues at the Federal Reserve Board to understand, you know, what does online lending look like? What are the trends in online lending? We release our small business credit survey every year to find out more about those trends. And last year, you know, we saw state level governments pick up that research and help think about, you know, what are the policies that we need to have in place that ensure that consumers are protected and that especially low and moderate income people are not, falling into kind of some bad decision making through no fault of their own.
Yeah. So what are you finding to be the biggest challenges facing some of these communities that are going to be the focus of the summit this week?
I think so. You'll see in our program, we really try to hit on things like everyone's talking about opportunity zones because that's, you know, that's a big policy idea that's at the federal level. And a lot of smaller communities are trying to figure out how to organize themselves to best take advantage of opportunity zones in low and moderate income communities. So we have a robust discussion on that. We bring together, for example, a practitioner out of Erie, Pennsylvania, together talking with someone from the state of Ohio about how they're trying to think about and respond to that legislation. So that's one piece that's in there. Another is affordable housing. Doesn't just matter on the coast. So we're going to talk about how affordable housing looks and feels a little different in the Midwest, in the broader Midwest region. We have a number of other sessions on the importance of transit to workers and their ability to get to jobs and how it affects their ability to keep that job, with some examples of Cincinnati and actually the Cincinnati Zoo. So So we are really trying to bring together the local and national across these different areas, because we're hearing from people that those are the issues that really matter to our communities.
And the event will explore what you call place-based policies. Can you define that for us?
Yeah, that's kind of a wonky term, but we are doing a 101 on place-based and people-based policies at the opening of the session on Thursday. So place-based policies, I would say like opportunity zones is an example of that, where you're identifying a geographic area and you are deciding to invest somehow or target investment in a certain geographic area, as opposed to providing training or skills to an individual person.
Your keynote speaker on Thursday is Harvard professor Raj Chetty. He'll discuss improving equality of opportunity, new insights from big data. That's the name of his presentation. And he seems like a pretty smart guy. He's a tenured professor at UC Berkeley at age 27. He then moved on to Harvard, and then he went on to Stanford, and now he's back at Harvard. What do you expect the key takeaways to be during Professor Chetty's remarks?
Well, you know, I don't want to, I want people to listen, so I'm not going to say what I think he's going to say, because it is live stream. So everyone, all your listeners should listen in on Thursday around between noon and two, I think. But I will say that I saw him speak a couple years ago, and he had the groundbreaking research about how, you know, place matters in people's generational mobility, and how much they earn, how much they're able to earn compared to their parents, et cetera, et cetera. And that was kind of the first, that's when he got really big. And just in this past year, you saw another release where they're really focused. They went from focusing at the metropolitan or regional level to the county level. And now he's going to talk about his findings at the neighborhood level. So he really grounds it in what we are seeing in the different neighborhoods, and how even just, you know, a mile away or 2 miles away from you, people are seeing very different outcomes depending on the neighborhoods they're living in. So I think they're going to highlight some really local examples as well as some national ones, and I'm really excited for it.
And you mentioned that Professor Chetty's presentation will be live streamed, and so will some other sessions, including Understanding the Legacy Cost of Segregation, A Path to Racial Equity. And the Federal Reserve will also host a Fed Listens town hall on Friday. Tell us the purpose of that.
So that's an opportunity to engage Federal Reserve leadership. So our president, Loretta Mester, at the Cleveland Fed, and then Board of Governors, Governor Lael Brainard, are both going to be there to listen to what people have to say about, you know, what is the perception on the ground of how low-income people are faring in the economy today. And I think that's a great opportunity, again, for people to engage in a discussion with their peers, other attendees at the conference, but also with our leadership and the people, you know, who are charged with thinking about the Federal Reserve's direction and how we engage the issues that low-income people face in those decisions.
One of your sessions is called Overcoming Barriers to Inclusive Growth. Inclusive growth may be another one of those wonky terms that we're not naturally familiar with, but what would you say are some of those barriers based on the research at the Fed?
So inclusive growth is about ensuring that the economic growth we're seeing, whether it be jobs or wages, is broadly shared. And I will say what we're seeing in terms of the last 10 years in terms of our recovery is some places are doing that a lot better than others. And actually, you know, Cincinnati has shown some positive signs in that respect, where you're seeing minority workers and white workers, the gap close a little bit between median wages. And I think that's rare. Unfortunately, you know, we're not seeing that in a lot of other places in the country in terms of equity and you know, this large gap between the earnings of minority workers, meaning Asian, African American, or Hispanic, and the earnings of white workers. So I think there's definitely a lot more to discuss about inclusive growth, but our purpose of this is to really talk about the policies and practices that make some places excel, and then what are the challenges that some places are really dealing with. And we're going to highlight examples of Louisville and places across the country that are really thinking about this.
And what would you say makes this upcoming conference here in Cincinnati different from some of the others that have been focused on policy or on poorer communities?
I've been to conferences before where that question, for example, around inclusive growth is asked. And you get some blank stares and some generic answers, but our purpose is really grounding the discussion in, you know, what places really are doing well and what does that look like. And I think every single one of our speakers are lined up to give some really good answers to that.
The Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland's Biennial Policy Summit on Community Development Issues is being held in Cincinnati for the first time Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week at the Hilton Netherland Plaza Hotel. We've got a link at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland Vice President and Community Affairs Officer Emily Garpacetti, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director today is Rick Endres. Archives of our show online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.